So last week we did text 33 and 34. I'll just read the English translation. Text 33. If, however, you do not perform your religious duty of fighting, then you will certainly incur sins for neglecting your duties and thus lose your reputation as a fighter. Text 34. People will always speak of your infamy, and for a respectable person, dishonor is worse than death. Any points? Text 33, anything you remember?
What all did we discuss?
Text 33.
The pressure continues.
Pressure on Arjuna.
Arjuna continues, yeah.
He has to make some decision, right?
Yeah.
From now on, it's like harms of not fighting, 33 to 37.
So if he doesn't fight, what's going to happen? Like the losses he is going to go through. And also here Arjuna is not, he's a famous fighter, right? Reputation as a fighter. He's not a coward, basically. That's what Prabhupada wants to say. He's a fighter, but he is using his compassion that as an excuse to escape his religious duty. But he is not a coward. So next Prabhupada, Krishna will more clarify that. And also he got, you know, in the purport Prabhupada says about Pashupata, Astra, and even Dronacharya gave him benediction that he can kill him, right, when the time comes. So he has a lot of certificates, that's what Prabhupada says. He has so many military certificates from many authorities. How come last week we discussed so much? Only two verses.
Yeah.
What
yeah.
are
yeah.
the
I think I
initially we discussed
practical,
lot.
Right?
Yeah. So
we
what
went.
Did we discuss? We had a long discussion.
We had a long discussion.
The audio was not completed over that.
Yeah,
over
only
it.
5 minutes audio.
5 minutes, huh?
Only 4.5 minutes. It got stopped afterwards or something?
No, I don't know which one. You're
what kind of memory has does that have?
This one?
No, it doesn't.
Oh, it has 5 GB.
Last time,
yeah.
12 GB.
Anyway, I think last time we discussed a lot of practical application points. Remember, I remember
yeah.
something.
What all the nishtha, ruchi? I mean,
eight steps of
yeah.
yeah. And I think you are doing the karma mathematics. The pious credits and you know what you need to do and all that kind of stuff you need to worry.
Anyway, as Prabhu said, text 33 to 37, it's all about the what's lost if he doesn't fight. That's the main this topic. And also in text 34, Prabhupada mentions in the purport, so the final judgment of the Lord for Arjuna to die in the battle and not withdraw. So that was So let's go to text 35. I think these are small ones, so we can cover more today. So text 35, we'll recite together.
Vayadranat upartam mamashyanti pamaharata isha charvam bahunato bhutva yashya sinagavam Vayadranat upartam ममस्यन्ति त्वं महारथः येषां च त्वं बहु मातो भूत्वा यास्यसि राघवम्
The great generals who have highly esteemed your name and fame will think that you have left the battlefield out of fear only, and thus they will consider you insignificant. Purport: Lord Krishna continued to give his verdict to Arjuna. Do not think that the great generals like Duryodhana, Karna and other contemporaries will think that you have left the battlefield out of compassion for your brothers and grandfather. They will think that you have left out of fear of your life, and thus their high estimation of your personality will go to hell.
So here Krishna is talking about, you know, what others think of you.
Mm-hmm.
This is a typical calculation we have, right? Whenever
yeah.
we do something, what will others do?
We don't
more binding than what we think
yes,
of ourselves.
Us,
yeah.
That's what.
It's just a material justification.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, that's why Krishna here is talking at a very low level.
Low level.
Previously he talked about spiritual sciences, soul and all, right? Now he's talking in a basic common principles with by which we calculate things. So especially in Krishna consciousness, we face this often. When, like, you know, we practice something here away from family, we see, you know, we can do everything nicely. Once we go home, you know, there, especially, you know, if we openly can we say, no, I'm not going to eat meat or like that, you know, what will others think? Especially if you go to relatives, family, how can you say, you know, you have don't eat onion, garlic, you have to offer, so big sequence, how can you explain what will others think?
It's a common pressure.
Even here, mother, if someone offers something, should we take it or not? Even vegetables, for example, fruit, something. We think
fruits
is offered.
Okay, yeah.
But yeah, then you know, some such kind of situations can come.
Yeah.
But if somebody offers without offering.
Yeah,
the fruits is okay. Mm-hmm. Even basically fruits, because if they don't cook, right? Anything grain they cook, their consciousness comes into that.
Oh,
okay. So Prabhupada recommends not to eat from non-devotees, especially, you know, restaurants, because they cook with the consciousness that, you know, I have to get money out of this and it's very unclean environment. So that is completely no-no. But
is it true that, can you practically think, does it really affect when somebody cooks something, right? If you taste it, can you differentiate? Like, can you give some example how it really tastes different? When you go to a restaurant and you eat, it tastes something. But at some place else you eat, the same thing, same item maybe, no? Same things, if you eat somewhere else, you have a different taste. Can you give some example like how we can differentiate that principle? How the consciousness...
The same item when you eat at home is so different than what you eat in the restaurant.
Yes.
Right? I mean,
everybody agrees? Especially moms, right?
Yeah.
Mother, when you are... And especially that's how mother has the highest, that love, right? That's the closest love mother can have. Nobody else can come that love. Mother only can have for the kid. So when mother cooks and when you eat, it's completely out of this world, the taste. The same thing you go and eat in restaurant, it's all, you know, you can tell it's very... Because the love or the consciousness goes into that food. When they cook something, what do they think while cooking? To satisfy my son, or, you know, to make it better. Or in restaurant guy, you know, some people will be, you know, I heard many, I'm pretty sure you would have heard lot of things. But yeah, that's what they will be, you know, they will do for money and also by grudgingly. Nobody, I don't think anybody will be happy in the kitchen inside, you know.
Sorry.
They pay less, first of all, in the kitchens, right, inside. I don't think anybody will be very happy without of love they will do cooking. So that's very important, especially Prabhupada mentions, through grains, the consciousness comes. When they are cooking rice or making chapati, cooking chapati, right? So consciousness of their consciousness enters into the grain.
But fruit, because they are not cooking, it doesn't get that consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the safest thing to accept.
That's in kind of emergencies.
Yeah.
But still that has to be offered. Fruits also should be offered. But in case of emergency, if you go out with friends and all, if they force you to eat something, you can always take fruit juices, fruit meal, offer. You can order that and you can take, and also mentally you can offer.
Yeah.
Mm.
That's allowed. But not, you should be very clear. Even fruits you cannot eat without offering, but emergency cases, yes, you can do that.
Prabhuji, I have a question.
Question?
Yeah. So if somebody works as a kshatriya, you know, they have duty, right? That means he is working on the bodily platform, because kshatriya is associated with body, not with soul, right? So
not all the kshatriyas, not generally kshatriyas. Kshatriya means, for example,
that's just example, like shudra, kshatriya, brahman. So if they are performing
the duty,
for their
the duties.
Duties.
Yes.
So that's on bodily platform, it's
right. Yeah.
So there could be better than that then on spiritual. If somebody wants to do their duty based on a spiritual platform, so they shouldn't be doing like Arjuna also when he's fighting. So as a kshatriya, that's based on bodily platform.
At one point, yes. But after he heard to Krishna, once Krishna revealed the knowledge, he was still a kshatriya, but his goal was different.
Mm.
So basically, main thing is, activities don't tell anything about consciousness. Based on certain activities, we cannot say this is material, this is spiritual. One point is correct that, you know, these designations are material designations. Like based on, you know, my qualities, all these things, I get like Kshatriya nature, Brahmana nature, so certain duties are there. So this, we can call this is material designations. But the same duties, I could be performing in a completely Krishna conscious way, or I could be performing in a completely material platform way. So it's not the activity. So that's very, very crucial understanding. Because what happens is, especially when we come to devotional service, we see devotees, right? We see, you know, so many people doing so many things. Or even like devotees go to work, like all of us go to work. Outsider may think, he's not different from me. No, they're also working 8 hours. They're also, you know, they also have performance review discussion, thinking about, you know, asking about promotion and all those things. So somebody may say there is no difference. But Prabhupada says there's a gulf of difference between how devotee works and how non-devotee works. Because devotee is trying to work to please Krishna. So that is completely transcendental service. But non-devotee is working just to get money to, you know, keep the family or sense gratification. So this is very important that, like for example, we see certain devotees doing certain activities, right? So we can't judge. Is he, you know, really Krishna conscious or is he advanced? No, we cannot judge anybody's advancement. We cannot do this judgment. Is it material, spiritual? So all we can know is our consciousness, actually. That's thing. And better, you know, offer humble respects to everyone. And,
yeah, Prabhupada many times he discusses that, you know, the activities a materialistic person does, a devotee, the activity devotee does, they may look similar, same, but the consciousness with they do, that's different. And I think if I remember, I think he gives the analogy of the cat catching the rat. And the same cat catching the
baby
kitten. So it looks similar, right? From outside you say, you know, it's using the same mouth to catch the rat, and also it's using the same mouth to catch this kitten. But one is feeling fear or death, rat, right? It's, but the kitten is feeling happy, it's safe, it's feeling protected. So same way here, our activity is also exactly like that. One activity, it binds you more into karma, action and reaction, but the other activity, you consciousness, other thing, it, you get free, you don't get any incur any reaction or any karma for that, but the activity is the same.
See, for some examples are like after coming to Krishna consciousness, or at least I can say of one, my god brother, like he initially when we come to Krishna consciousness, suddenly, you know, because if somebody is very pious and very sincere, they may immediately get the taste and immediately start feeling detachment. Like, you know, they feel, okay, why I should work? What's the purpose? Because we know how to work in a materialistic way, which is like, okay, get money, right? And after slowly coming to Krishna consciousness or another initial stages, we feel, okay, now I don't have any interest for enjoyment. So why I should work, right? There's no motivation for work now. So he started feeling, you know, why I should work? I want to quit. I want to, you know, go maybe, you know, become full-time devotee or something like that. But then gradually when they approach, they finally found in their journey spiritual master. Spiritual master told, okay, your services, you have to work. And you, because you don't have any interest in the results, you give that much amount of results to preaching movement. So now the motivation became different. I still work and he gets so much promotions now. But the now the maximum amount of it's all for how can I give more results to Krishna, right? Initially he lacked complete motivation to work, now it's full motivation to work. But initially it was for like Arjuna, it was for himself. The next second time it was for Krishna. But outside people think, oh, this guy gets promotion every year, he works, you know, he works sometimes nights and weekends. People think, oh, what is this? Like, he thinks like an ordinary person. But the consciousness is so different. So that's why for us, as we discuss so many times, we don't have to change the activities. We have to change the consciousness. Of course, some activities are ruled out. You know, there is no room. But within that, within our family, let's say, or you know, duties at home or work or some other things we have, how slowly, slowly we can become more, more and more, more and more Krishna conscious.
Any other points on this thing? Yeah, and Prabhupada says also, you know, the war field is not for, you cannot be compassionate on the war field. Once you are there as a Kshatriya, he says it's all about fighting, result. You win or lose, it's all about fighting, there is no compassion, it's not meant for compassion on the battlefield. We'll go to text 36.
Avyacha vadamcha bhavum vadishanti tava idaha vindantastava smamadhyam tato dukkhataram natum Avyacha vadamcha bhavum vadishanti tava idaha vindantastava smamadhyam Tato dukkhataram nakim.
Your enemy will describe you in many unkind words and scorn you, your ability. What could be more painful for you? Purport. Lord Krishna was astonished in the beginning at Arjuna's uncalled for plea for compassion. And he described his compassion as befitting the non-Aryans. Now, in so many words, he has proved his statements against Arjuna's so-called compassion.
Yeah, again, it's the same point, you know, warfield is not for compassion, it's all about fighting. And also Prabhupada is saying he described his compassion as befitting the non-Aryans. What's the definition of Aryans and non-Aryans? We discussed that, right? Aryan is?
2.2.
Was it 2.2?
2.2.
What's the definition of Aryan? This thing, don't look at
duties.
It.
Duty.
Huh?
One who knows his duties. No?
Close, but more clear, like, no more.
His superior and spiritual things.
And his goal of life is spiritual, right? Something like that. Who molds his life in spiritual direction.
Mm. Basically, spiritual duty, actually.
Yeah.
One who knows his spiritual duty. But let's see what the definition, exact definition. It was 2.2.
One knows the value of life. That's what I think about.
Value of life. And have a civilization based on that's important. The word Aryan is applicable to person who know the value of life and have a civilization
based on spiritual realization.
So that's important. Persons who have no knowledge of liberation from material bondage are called non-Aryans. It's a strong
So why is Arjuna's compassion not appropriate? Or why is Krishna discouraging Arjuna?
And also it said that why in the translation, right? What could be more painful for you? Why is it called, why is it said more painful? Why is it specially Prabhupada or Krishna is saying like that? What could be more painful for you?
This is in relation to the pain that Arjuna was expressing earlier, like I'm killing my
teacher
and stuff. So, saying this is more painful. Like this is more painful for you than
why is it more painful?
Because it is his relatives only who are there on the other side for whom he was not fighting.
Okay.
And if he is going to hear unkind words from them, because he is considered to be Maharathi, right? And if he, out of cowardice, if he doesn't fight, then
He's not a coward.
It's
but
a very
the other coward.
The
so
shame
not
that
yeah.
you
the
run away from the battle that is more of a killer than the act of running away and being in a poor state.
So very close, you're very close. So
words
the
are mightier than sword, they say.
The previous one, right?
Yeah.
Previous, which verse is that?
For
a Kshatriya?
Yeah.
Dishonor is
worse than death.
Worse than death. So that's why it's more painful for him. Death, he can handle death, but not the dishonor. If he ran away and unkind words and all, right? If he people use.
So what happened to Arjuna's compassion? Why is Krishna discouraging?
Because it's the wrong place for the compassion.
So what? How is it wrong?
Because
wrong place in the situation. The battlefield is wrong. But what about compassion itself? Is it correct or like how is he applying?
Well, he was saying that compared what you see as compassion, people will see as cowardice. Therefore, get up and fight.
So Arjuna's compassion itself, there is a problem in that. That's what Krishna points out.
Yes.
So what is the problem?
He's sitting on bodily platform.
Yeah. So
yes.
Compassion is on bodily platform. It's based on my friends, my relatives, grandfather, right?
Yeah.
Instead of spiritual platform.
So compassion should be there because
yeah.
if, in the previous verses, Krishna did say that's a quality of a cultured man actually. Compassion, Arjuna is a very cultured person. So his compassion is good. But it's on a material platform. He's using, trying to use it as a bodily platform, not on the spiritual platform. Yeah, compassion, that particular character, right? That's very important
actually,
for
yeah.
all of us.
Today only I was listening to one of Prabhupada's lectures talking about this point. He's talking about highest social service we could do to the society basically. So somebody may say, right, if just keep chanting and hearing and dancing, how are you benefiting society? Usually people say, how much you're giving food or clothes, that's how people measure, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or philanthropy or hospitals, that's how people measure. So that's one kind of service. But Prabhupada said the highest service is if you become a pure devotee and also give Krishna consciousness to others. That's the topmost service. So first we'll understand, is this, do we all agree with this? So okay, to help us agree with this, Prabhupada gave an example. Like if somebody has a big rich father, but they left the father, like they just somehow got lost, right? And they are wandering everywhere and they are like, suffering for food and shelter, everything. And somebody comes to them and say, okay, I'm going to give you food. Like today, okay, you're hungry, I'm going to give you food. That is one kind of service they can do to them. Or somebody can come and say, oh, I know your father. He's a very rich man. I'm going to take you to him.
Yeah. So that will solve the problem forever.
Exactly. So that will solve the problem forever. He will be safe with his father and he will have all the problems solved for the rest of the life. So similarly, if we help in a bodily platform, right, that is just temporary fixation of the situation. But if we give Krishna consciousness, they will stand up on their own and go back to Krishna. So then, cycle of birth and death, everything is gone. That's the root problem why we are facing, right? So that's what is the difference between material compassion versus spiritual compassion. Spiritual compassion means we feel, that's what Prabhupada felt, right? We feel that people are suffering because of lack of Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada said the only problem in the world is forgetfulness of Krishna. Because of that only everything is happening. So if somehow we remind people of Krishna, then automatically their sinful activities get rectified because we are recommended to not do the four bad things, right? So automatically sinful activities get rectified, they become good, and the devotional service burns away karma, we'll be happy in this life, and in the next life we'll go back to Krishna. So that is the right way of applying compassion. And so initially we may feel like, okay, I have to chant some rounds, some fixed number of rounds we have. So So, you know, we sometimes neglect our duties at home or like, you know, oh, I have to chant. So it may feel selfish actually. Right? You know, every time he says, you know, always he's chanting. Or rather, you know, whenever I want him to do something, he says he has to chant.
So it becomes an excuse, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it should not be. So we should be diligent about it. Also, there will be people who are very, they know that, okay, chanting is the only way, you know, I can make progress. And that is the main devotion service. And they will be very rigorous about that. In the sense, okay, I have to get up at this time. And I have to do it. If I don't do it, then, you know, I'll start thinking, oh, I didn't do it. Or, you know, too much mental, this thing. So that may also seem from others. Like, for example, somebody likes to go to Mangalarti. So even now, I like to go if at all I have strength. So people say, you know, why you have to go? And especially if you have to, if after the kids, like, you should not be so particular about going. If things are feasible, I will try to go, right? So, but others may seem like fanatism. You know, this person wants to prove something to others or, you know, like just want to show that only she can do or whatever, I don't know how people perceive. So people may perceive like this, but actually as a selfish act. But actually that is a real selflessness. Because if we are investing in our relationship with Krishna, we will become better. And by becoming better, we will help others much more later on. Now we may seem as if like, you know, I'm not even talking to her, but instead I'm chanting. Right? But then once I become pure, what will pure person do? Will they do anything selfish for themselves? Right? They will just dedicate their life for helping others. So that's how it becomes real selflessness. So we have to invest that time, whatever we dedicate to, you know, commit to Krishna. But of course we should be careful that, you know, we don't get all these complaints.
But in your case, like if somebody comes to Mangalarti regularly, I mean, why is that? Let the other people think and all, but that should not, motivate.
Yeah, that's why. That should not affect. No, but what I'm saying is how people could perceive it differently. People may perceive it like, she wants to prove a point, like only she can go. Or I don't know what else people think, but at least, you know, at least I've heard this thing, right? After kids, your priority should be kids. So, in that case, if you don't have to go, you don't make that going as a main, you know, this thing. Right? Okay, that is definitely there, but with kids also, if I can go, then I can go. Right? But they were thinking, they were imagining me to be like, after kids also, you know, I will just leave them and just go. That's how it is.
Neglect the kids, as if we'll neglect
exactly,
them.
Yes. That's how they perceive, that I will neglect other duties and do this just for the sake of doing it. Like, no, I have to go. So that's what...
Interesting dilemma.
But even then, that could also be done in a Krishna conscious way. Because, for example, all day if I'm at home, the only spiritual activity I get is maybe coming to Kamangalarti. That 1 hour, if I somehow adjust and come, I will be so much surcharged, right? The whole day, I will be so much Krishna conscious in taking care of kids, right? So that activity I could do as service to kids, not as a neglect to kids, right? So nobody can judge that.
But if you, I mean, in that scenario, sorry, I'm basically elaborating that. But that scenario, like if you, so what does the, what's the right thing to do? Like kids need you, then you be with the kids. That
yes, exactly. There's a time situation, right?
Okay.
For example, for example, husband is supportive. You could take turns, right?
Yeah.
Like after feeding time is over or whatever, they're sleeping. If one of us at home and just for half an hour, somebody can sneak in and attend whatever, right? So that gives us strength. At the same time, basically you're doing more service.
Okay.
Instead of doing less service.
Okay. Mm.
But suddenly you're about to go and somebody cries. Then
you have to
take
priority.
Yeah.
That's right.
So
basically don't be rigid.
Yes.
Be
exactly.
Practical also.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But at the same time you should be careful not to lose completely the goal. Especially if you have kids and all, things may change so much. that you will lose your determination, Krishna consciousness, completely. So that's also another thing, other side of it.
The reasons will come.
Exactly. You know, oh, I'm tired.
Shravanam, Mataji. Shravanam, right? You have so many sources of Shravanam.
Yeah.
It will never
be always engaged.
Right?
Yeah.
Especially,
and you get a lot of time to sit and then, you know, I mean, I see my wife and all, right? I mean, especially when you're feeding
okay,
and all.
You should
right?
not become personal student.
Sorry,
student.
I know. I'm saying, I'm because you have been through the same situation
okay,
up there, right?
Okay.
Because she's not able to attend the classes
uh-huh.
and all, right? And because of that. So, she's trying to figure that out. And yeah, so she does that, like,
she
especially when you're feeding and all, then
uh-huh.
just go through the lectures,
yeah.
the books and all. I mean, she's getting more time.
Oh, okay. Very good. Yeah, so if somebody is determined, alone, if they're determined, they can do it. But I don't think I have that determination. I need, like, a lot of strength.
Yeah, Prabhupada very clearly
yeah,
says that at any point, you know, whatever point you are given, at given point of time, you can be Krishna consciousness. So, as we said, you know,
mm-hmm.
if you are at home, if you cannot move around, then you listen to lectures, you know,
mm-hmm.
kirtans, all those things. So any activity, he gives all the time examples of a, you know, factory worker. Is Prabhupada says that time, you know, people go to factories, right? In the chail, all those
mm-hmm.
things, like it was common that time. So there also, you know, you're doing something, you can, you know, change your, remember, you know,
mm-hmm.
verses, all those things. So any, so there cannot be any excuse
mm-hmm.
saying, you know, oh, I'm not able to practice my Krishna consciousness. That's what's
maybe the form may be different.
Yeah.
Right? You know, form, the service may be different, but the service attitude is there. So, other thing is, as Prabhu was saying, right? So, nothing material can stop spiritual.
Spiritual.
Nothing. So, one main verse where Prabhupada discusses this is a verse where Krishna talks about things which can be offered to him. Who knows that verse? Like Krishna says, yeah.
Patram,
yeah. So patram, pushpa,
okay.
palam, toyam.
Everybody knows that.
Right. Prasadam. So what are the four English?
Water, leaf,
fruits, flowers.
So there in the discussion or maybe in the lecture related to that, Prabhupada says that this is all Krishna saying, you know, and this anybody can do any time, right? Even if you don't have anything, I can just offer one leaf. Right, so that shows that, you know, that all Krishna wants there is bhakti, devotion. Right, so so nothing material could obstruct the devotion. But we often feel actually they are. It's a,
see,
you know, so many situations are obstructing us. Basic chanting also,
yeah.
Right? If situation goes, like somebody gets sick, that's all finished.
Yeah. We try to create
because
obstacles, yeah, but nothing can stop. And the other thing Prabhupada says is the love of the gopis, because the gopis are at the top highest level of, you know, pure love, and the cow or calf, right, in Vrindavan. So Krishna loves them same.
Mm.
It's not, you know, his love for gopis are more than, you know, for cows or trees. That's not in spiritual world, it's absolute. So his love is of same quality for them. You cannot differentiate. You cannot say, oh, Krishna loves gopis more than cows. That's not correct.
Mm-hmm.
Same love. He loves cows same love as even the gopis and all.
Yeah, but yeah.
So
in spiritual world.
In spiritual.
So
but here, of course.
Where is
yeah.
that discrimination comes from? The gopi.
No.
But that's what mm-hmm. Velukudi was saying, right? The only differentiation is between a devotee and a non-devotee.
Oh, you said gopis differentiate between that?
There are five
layers.
Yeah.
No, you said the rasas, different
yeah.
rasas.
No,
you
just said gopi have
yeah, the love.
Most pure, right?
Yes.
No, Prabhu is saying gopis have more love, but Krishna's love to everyone is same.
Absolutely. Okay, it's the other way.
Uh-huh.
Okay, yeah. Coming to Krishna.
Yeah,
okay.
Like they have the pure love for Krishna, right? In
mm-hmm.
that platform.
Madhurya.
But Krishna, if they are pure and, you know, if they are completely devoted to him, it's the same love. It doesn't differentiate. You are gopi, I am very close to you. That's cow. I am not, you know, that's not so close. No, Krishna never differentiates that.
But in spiritual world, is it other way around as well? Like, let's say for all souls, do they have like different levels of love for Krishna, or it's like that is
no,
also
it's
same?
All pure. You cannot go to spiritual world unless you are completely pure.
So it means we can consider all are equal.
Yeah, of course, servant is same, you know, servant the rasa you can have. friends, Krishna's friends or, you know, his servants, he has the same love for them. That's very interesting. Okay, go to text 37. अतो वा प्राप्स्यसि स्वर्गम् जित्वा वा भोक्ष्यसि मयीं तस्मात् उत्तिष्ठतं तेया युद्धाय कृतनिश्चया अतो वा प्राप्स्यसि स्वर्गम् जित्वा वा भोक्ष्यसि मयीं तस्मात् उत्तिष्ठतं तेया युद्धाय कृतनिश्चया. What's the meaning of Krita Nischaya?
For sure.
Determined. Yeah. So Krishna is telling Arjuna, make your, you know, make up your mind. Let's, yeah.
O son of Kunti, either you will be killed on the battlefield and attain the heavenly planets, or you will conquer and enjoy the earthly kingdom. Therefore, get up with determination and fight.
Very interesting, right? This one?
Yeah.
So does that mean, because this was very, you know, controversial, lot of people, they misuse this one, the Bhagavad Gita. What can be misused in particular, this particular translation?
This is like some of the jihadist things.
Killer
things. Like
he is giving a command something. Like.
Yeah.
So Krishna here is saying, you get up on determination and fight. So this particularly, lot of people, they use it for the violence. So they say Bhagavad Gita talks about violence.
These are all those previous verses where so much of violence is there. They just pick up one line and
no, people, that's how, right? People take one verse and they, that's how everything, you know, comes out, you know. So does that really Bhagavad Gita recommends violence? So how can we kind of, you know, come to some common platform? All of us, we are so many different people here. So what common understanding we can come to by reading this? How can we, somebody say, so Bhagavad Gita, you know, it's Krishna is telling Arjuna to fight. So if I read Bhagavad Gita and if I, you know, I can fight,
yeah,
like something like that, right? You can.
He is telling him to do this
deed. Yep. He was a Kshatriya in the battlefield ready to fight, and at that time he was feeling disheartened and not wanting to fight. You come all the way and you decided to fight, and you know, therefore fight, that's it.
So bhakti is above all this violence and non-violence, right? Bhakti yoga, especially,
right.
Bhakti yoga. So in this case, violence is required. Like as you said, Kshatriya, Arjuna is a Kshatriya. So he has to fight, it's his duty. So it's basically here, the Krishna is giving the absolute duty, right? That's why he is saying no gain or no loss. So it's absolute. But in material terms, everything as in material warfare, right? You lose, you gain. Sometimes some people will be happy, some people will be distressed. But here it's all absolute. It's on the spiritual platform. So that's what Krishna is saying. You know, you fight as your duty. So yes, the Bhagavad Gita or, you know, so what Prabhupada always describes is, yes, violence is required. It's not that, you know, we are all devotees and we are just chant and, you know, just keep chanting japa, we don't involve in violence. But of course, if somebody attacks you, what are you going to do?
You have to defend.
If somebody comes with a weapon
and attacks your family, let's say your wife or somebody, you can't keep saying, you know, I'm non-violent.
Yeah, I'm non-violent.
Can soldiers in an army be devotees? I mean, that's the question.
Under
yes,
the...
Yeah.
So yeah, so if I'm a soldier, I have to fight. So. I mean,
you're doing under
that.
Can
I still be a devotee? I think the answer to that should be yes, right? There
is one person. We used to come to temple. He moved to a different place. He was actually, he's a US, I forgot his name. No, he was in army, Iraq. He went to Iraq. They sent him, you know, three times to Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether you have seen him. He used to come maybe, you know, 3 years. After that, I think he relocated to some other place. So he is a surgeon in the army. So he went three times.
Mm-hmm.
And what he does is, in the camp, right, he has a Bhagavad Gita discussion group. So, no, he's very good. Actually, there is a lot of online,
yeah, so
he used to write.
He
yeah, he does a lot of preaching. Book distribution in the camp, military camp.
Especially people are dying there, right? They're ready
that's
to discuss. So
real,
he goes there and gives
that's his real experience he used to share. So what happened is, you know, So in his front of his eyes, he used to see some other soldiers get killed. Like, you know, all these bombs, what do you call that? Landmines, all these things, right?
Yeah.
So when they were walking, immediately, you know, it used to go on. And his friends and all, he is told actually, he used to try that person, you know, pull that person away from the bomb or whatever. He has seen personally. So that time, you know, because he is under order of the US Army, right? The government order. So he has to fight. So he is to kill. It's not, you know, he cannot hide and say, you know, I'm not going to. Anyway, he will not be there if he is, you know.
He will be killed.
So he went through all this actually. He used to tell, you know, if time comes, he has killed many people. He used to tell, I have killed many people.
Wow.
But that's how it is. That's what his duty is.
Mm.
But he used to come, read Bhagavad Gita, distribute Bhagavad Gita. He used to in the army. He used to write, you know, his journal. He used to write a journal and send it to us.
We can understand these statements very clearly. Fight.
No, really, yeah. So Prabhupada's point was, yeah, so violence is required, right? If somebody tries to attack us, now if somebody comes with a weapon, we are not going to, you know, of course we'll sing Narsimha prayer, but with Narsimha prayer we'll get more strength. So we'll eat more, you know, we can beat more.
But by the time you sing Narsimha prayer, we shouldn't fire as much.
So we should be ready. It's not that, you know, so devotees are, they can do anything. So other example Prabhupada gives is, so there is a state and you have the police department, or you know, there is a department for police. So basically they have to protect the innocent people, right? The police duty. So sometimes the police will get involved in the violence.
Mm-hmm.
They have to beat somebody. It's a violence. So that's what Prabhupada says, you know, that's what it is. It's, so the Bhagavad Gita is the devotees. Or above all violence and all, because some is it Mahatma Gandhi who said Bhagavad Gita, he took Bhagavad Gita and he said it's about non-violence.
Correct. He did say that.
He, so it's, but Prabhupada says Krishna never says that. Krishna is saying here.
But to say this, we need to understand for whom. This is Kshatriya. Kshatriya, we need to understand Kshatriya's duty.
Yeah.
You understand that?
Yeah, it's very figurative, right? I mean, it's
yeah.
not the literal.
I cannot take
that,
this
right,
and apply.
Yeah, yeah, not.
Yeah.
But
Bhagavad
Gita has given the hero level is given, right? Is
yeah.
Yeah,
there,
so
is one.
There is one.
There are many, yeah.
Yeah.
But mainly, you know, he used to take this and use it as a non-violence kind of thing. But
no, there are a lot of times in your day-to-day life as well where things happen and you kind of say, okay, you know, but why should I do anything about this, right? But there are people like who wake up and fight. And,
hmm.
And I had a very good friend who was very, I mean, she used to go to restaurants and she used to find out what exactly they use for cooking.
Uh-huh.
And she had a list of restaurants that actually had made use, right? And they, like, exactly what you do, right? And
yeah.
And she was somebody who participated in the Narmada Bachavan Andolan and, you know,
uh-huh.
agitation and very powerful and strong. Like, and it's like, you know, it's not like anything that happens around her, it's okay. She doesn't put up with it. Like,
mm-hmm.
she just goes and
uh-huh.
questions, asks, and fights. I mean, so the fight isn't just, you know, it's not like, you know, you have to kind of. It's about accepting, you know, and you can just go and keep chanting Hare Krishna, and everything will be okay, everything will be okay, but it's actually not right. I mean, there's a lot of things in the world which are not right, and, you know, just by chanting and just sitting around, it's, you're not kind of doing anybody any good.
Yeah, so that's why here.
So there is injustice peace is what you're saying, right? I mean, if there is
yeah,
injustice,
it's like,
raise
you
your
can
voice.
See, you can see work even for, you can see work even for yourself as a, as a non-soldier and not in the army, like a lot of things that we can do.
See, that's why the main thing here is Prabhupada, because I was listening to the lecture on this particular verse. So Prabhupada talks about duality. So anything material you take, it's always duality. Good, bad, you see, try to good, try to see bad. It's always under duality. So, but Krishna here is giving the absolute duty of a Kshatriya. So for him, because there is no loss or no gain. So that's what the Krishna is telling Arjuna to fight. I think that's what I wrote down here. You know, he talks about absolute duty. So we have to remain in that one position. So what Prabhupada was saying was, Krishna is asking Arjuna to remain in one position. Instead of changing positions, so Prabhupada, you know, the Krishna is telling to remain in a Krishna conscious, in at one platform.
Yeah.
You got my point. So you don't
waver. Whether to fight, not to fight.
In this example, Arjuna is confused because he is kind of, you know, wavering from one position to other position. He is kind of wavering. But here, Krishna is recommending the absolute duty. Don't do it as a material duty, do it as an absolute duty. So in absolute duty, you are not worried about loss or gain. So that is actually, it's a Krishna consciousness position.
But
when you
also,
follow the...
It's also like my duty versus...
Yes. That's your... That's how,
but
that's
there is
how
also like the scope of how much I think about the world and me. Like what do I think about as me and my world and my duty will vary from person to person, right? I mean, we definitely won't...
For us, we discussed, right? For us, you know, if you dovetail everything towards Krishna consciousness, right? Then you will, you should not be already. So we are also on that Brahma Bhuta platform. When you dovetail your activities to become Krishna conscious, that means you are already in that Brahma Bhuta platform. So in that Brahma Bhuta platform, you don't see what's that word?
Duality.
Na sochati na kankshati. So you don't have any anchorings or you don't have any
lamentation.
So that's why it's very important.
Basically, you transcend the situations. Things are going wrong.
Yes,
some things are good, some things are bad around the world, as you said, right?
Yes.
And some people get affected and they want to do something to fix bad things. Mm. So some people want to increase the good things. So, but still, the problem is it's within duality.
Yes.
So what will happen is you'll incur more reactions. You have to face again cycle of, this will not stop cycle of birth and death. But if you take up devotional service or something, then you transcend the duality. That means these things happen, it doesn't affect you.
Mm.
So the person who is picking up new battles and doing stuff, are they not doing the right thing, or is it...
They are doing, as we discussed...
If they do it with spiritual thing, they will actually be more successful, and I mean, is that...
I was waiting to bring up the point, so we can clarify that. We discussed the same thing just today only, right? About what is the greatest welfare activity we can do, right? Either we can give food or clothes, or fix small battles. But this is all, it's all in the material platform, right? Because if you just see the history, our teacher was telling, when he was in college, or maybe 30 years or 20 years, there was some war between Iraq and, who is the other nation?
Iran.
Yeah, and now again it's happening, is it? He was telling, I don't know the countries.
No, it will happen, it will keep changing.
Yeah, he was telling the same two countries, 30 years back, they were fighting.
No, not that. Is it Israel, Palestine?
Yeah, I don't know the names, that's
what
I'm
saying.
That's
going on
in
Palestine.
Some two countries, they were fighting 30 years back. And we may think at that point, heat of the moment, this is the urgent thing I need to do.
Mm.
I need to jump in the war, you know, I have to fix it, right? But if you see, after 30 years, again, same two countries are fighting. So, materially, situations will keep coming up like this. So how much we can, first of all, we cannot fix them, because we are in material platform, can only spiritual solutions can solve material problems. Material solutions will not solve material problems. To some extent it may appease, like, you know, right now I may get some medicine so that my headache goes away, but there will be something else coming up soon.
The root causes something else.
So, but if you have spiritual solution, we will completely cut it from the root that, you know, cycle of birth and death is gone.
See, the mainly...
I get the point. Like, if everybody in Israel and Palestine became Krishna conscious and they are thinking more spiritual angle, nobody is going to be...
Yeah.
But the soldier who is involved in the fight, he's also doing the right thing.
Means where? Which one?
I mean, Israel or Palestine, I know
guy is a Krishna conscious.
If that guy is fighting, then yeah, but he's, yeah.
He's
of
protecting
course,
his country,
he is
right?
Forced,
so,
yeah, if,
so
see, again, protecting his country is different. See, lot of people, like,
so
for
let
example...
Let him complete his question.
So the
Palestinian thing is a great example. Like, so a country was found in 1947. It's like, I'm living in a house, and then someone is the landlord of the house. The landlord comes and says, from tomorrow onwards, the half of this house is this other guy's house. This guy, first of all, didn't know who the landlord was, and if the landlord was whoever else, he didn't kind of say, hey, you are my landlord. He wasn't kind of, it was his new land to begin with. Who is he to give it to somebody else? Okay, anyway, whatever. The other guy who came into the house, he actually believes that God gave him the land, because it was written in scriptures, in his scriptures. So according to him, he was doing the right thing, and that is Israel. So Israelis are right because of their scriptures and their land. It was given to them as their right. passages are right because it was their land to begin with, and they lived there for thousands of years.
All both of the gods were brothers.
And both of the gods were
brothers. No, actually it's the same God. Yahweh.
It's the same God.
Yahweh
is only one God.
So from as far as if I was an Israeli, like, it's a very complex situation because as far as Israeli, I'm right. Right, because I have a right in this land, it was given to me, and it's written in my scriptures. If I read my scriptures and if I believe in it, you know, it is mine, right? And I have all right to be here and fight for it.
Yeah.
According to the Palestinians, someone else came into my land, and even in Krishna, like, I mean, if you look at Bhagavad Gita, if someone comes and steals your stuff, you know, you have all the right to go and, you know, take action.
Yeah,
you know, you have all the right to react. So according to the Gita too, the Palestinian is doing the right thing. He's actually protesting something which was his, which is being taken away. What is right here in this case?
So you remember the example of that we spoke, the concrete boat? No, remember?
Which one?
The concrete boat. Guru told his disciples to build the concrete boat.
Yeah,
boat.
Yeah, everybody good.
You remember?
Hariwilas Prabhu told, I think, in the first.
Yeah.
Yeah, he told.
Can someone repeat?
No, I mean, it was like there was a guru, there was a disciples. You know, they did all kinds of bhaktis and everything, and they said they are doing the right thing, right? And then Guru told them, okay, make a concrete boat.
Yeah.
Okay, and they had to, like, cross some rivers or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Guru told, okay, concrete, don't worry, get on and you will safely be able to cross the river. But then, you know, with all the faith and everything, they jumped on it and everybody drowned, right? So the summary there is, like, you know, yeah, I mean, if you're not doing the right thing, I mean, even...
No, they went to the planet,
Yamaraj.
They went to Yamaraj.
Blindly follow.
So Guru, they got Guru, punish Guru.
Ignorance, basically.
Right? Then they got, the disciples came and they judged him. They are also, you know, have to suffer. Then they asked, why, you know, we didn't do anything. We are just following our guru.
Yeah.
Then he said, since you are following your guru, so you also have to get punished because he was in ignorance. You are also following him. So our point is, if you are really sincere, the Krishna will give, because I know there are a lot of centers in Israel. The ISKCON preaching center, they distribute Bhagavad Gita in Israel. There are centers in this. So there are people who have taken up Krishna consciousness. So if you are really sincere person, Krishna as a Paramatma inside, he will guide you to the
right
knowledge,
path.
Right path. So for example, you are on the Israel side, you are fighting a war, you are a soldier, you are fighting, you are killing people. If you have that kind of inner consciousness, I am not doing something wrong, like, you know, I am not doing something correct here, I am doing something wrong. Then immediately, Paramatma is in you, even Israeli art also is there, Palestinian also is same Paramatma is spread. So immediately understand. So this person is, you know, he wants to understand the higher goal of life. Then immediately he guides you, he takes, you know, maybe he will make you quit that army job, go some other job. Like, you know, he will give you the pointers to make the right decision. So we think, yes, because we think you are attached to the country. For example, I can tell, you know, whenever there is war, we used to think Pakistan-India war. I always used to take India side. That's because I'm born there. So it's a bodily attachment to your nation.
That is extended selfishness.
Patriotism.
We discussed that one.
Concentrated selfishness.
Concentrated.
Where, you know, me and my family, especially it goes down to me.
That's immediate.
Even between the family, we, you know, sometimes we fight like I versus you, right?
Yeah.
But that keeps on extending. That then first me, my family, my kids, everything. But then my relatives, then my caste, or, you know, my place where I'm born. Then my state, then my country. So this is all bodily platform of extended selfishness.
We have seen.
Still, so that you are saying what is right, what is wrong. Ultimately, it's wrong if it's all on material platform.
Hmm.
Basically, they are fighting on political
grounds.
Exactly.
Even on the bodily designations. Like, I identify so much with this country that I can give my life for this country. It's all material platform.
But then what is the answer on the spiritual platform? There is no answer on the...
Spiritual platform is, what is
Spotsana.
The one which can go beyond this bodily designations? What can what can take you beyond the designations is something which is devotional service.
See, we are not working on the bodily platform, right? We are working on the spirit-soul platform.
Yes.
This
so
knowledge,
acting,
everything
yes.
is on the soul platform. It's never on the bodily platform. So that's why Svajjana means it's not just you and your... Arjuna was thinking Svajjana means it's immediate grandparents, friends, relatives. But Prabhupada, we
the
discussed Svajjana means it's a whole world, including animals, everything, living entity. It's a living entity, wherever spirit-soul. We are all connected. Why are we connected?
Because we have same father.
Because we have the same father. Seed giving, who is the seed giving father? Krishna is the Aham Bija Pradapita. So he is the seed giving father. So we have the same father, but because we are under the bodily, the consciousness, it's everything starts divisions.
See, that's when you see somebody as friend, somebody as enemy. If you are in the bodily platform, we see, you know, Palestinian as enemy, whereas, you know, other Israeli is my friend. That duality. The duality comes means material platform.
Probably there is this thing, I sort of get the overall direction, but there is this physical reality that this Maslow hierarchy of needs, right? It is the social security, food, like it's at the base, right? So you talk about Israel and ISKCON is the hand center of Israel. Israel is a very prosperous country.
It's
funded very heavily by the US. It gets billions of dollars in aid.
That's why they fight.
They can afford to actually go to the highest level of the Maslow's hierarchy, which is spirituality. And all of us are
No. They cannot. It doesn't mean if you are prosperous.
Yeah.
US is a prosperous country.
And we are all here, right?
US is a very prosperous country.
But
where are they going?
Yeah.
Are they going the right direction?
No.
See, that's why the material conditions does
not
apply to spirituality.
Yeah,
spiritual
not
life.
Like, it doesn't
favor.
But
it does dry it. So the Palestinian, if you go and say, like, hey, you know,
talk
about it spiritually, he doesn't even have time to kind of get food together on the plate.
No, but first we have to understand why they are put into that condition. See, we are forgetting the root cause here.
Right.
See, we're, yeah.
Sorry, Prabhu. All I'm trying to say is that when you have food, if you don't choose the right path, that is different. But when you're struggling for food itself, path and
that's true.
I think that's
what
Prabhu
also
says.
I agree completely.
Two kinds of people, they don't immediately take to Krishna consciousness. One is a person who's just struggling for daily bread, or a person who's very, very rich. Both of them, they don't take up.
Because there's no
person
needs.
Struggling. You know, he doesn't have any more time other than, you know, just getting basic food. And person who's very rich, they don't feel a necessity of suffering. They don't feel suffering.
Yes,
so they don't feel, you know, why I should take any solution. I have all the money to solve all my problems. Eventually they'll feel that, you know, they cannot solve. But we all, this all of us who are in the middle, you know, every day feel the pain, pinch, everything. We only feel like, okay, there's something I can do to fix the problem. So that's perfect.
So let's read 7:19.
I think we didn't read 7:19.
I just wanted to see 7:19. That gives us a little bit how rare is spiritual life. It's not
327
page.
We referred to this one?
Yeah.
I think she quoted
about,
I think.
Like, who are the people who come to spiritual life?
Yeah.
I think 96% or
99%
of the people who actually suffer.
Yeah, after many births and deaths, he who is actually knowledge surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is. Such a great soul is very, very rare. So spiritual life, yeah, not everybody can take it. It's not that cheap thing to get it.
Mm-hmm.
And we should know why. For example, we gave example of Africa, right? The kids, they born, they die because of malnutrition. So what's wrong with them?
And what did the children do? Like, I mean,
yeah, what did
karma.
They do?
Mm-hmm.
Why, right?
Because of previous karma.
Karma.
No, there should be some reason, right? Otherwise, the kids are born in US. They're born to, you know, very prosperous or all the facilities, right? But in their Africa, they born and die. So there should be some deciding factor. Otherwise, it should not be happening, right? So there should be some deciding factor. That is what it is, karma. That's what it decides. So when we understand that, then of course, people who are in Palestinian, Israel, they are put into that condition because they have to fight. Because they have done something wrong. And anyway, Prabhupada clearly gives, actually many lectures, because of the cow slaughtering, US can be prosperous. Yes, very prosperous. Because the amount of karma they are generating, it's very bad. It's finally, you know, it's going to be devastation.
Yeah.
You cannot imagine. Because of the cow. Anyway, I'm not comparing to India, because India is also worse.
Yeah,
you don't know
the same thing.
It's India is very, very bad actually. Cow killing.
Also
the skin export, the cows, right? The skin export, it comes more from India and Bangladesh than any other country. So that's why it's so rare. It's at least, you know, we are so fortunate to be born there, because it's very easy to get connected to spirituality in India. than other countries.
So then continue with the point. So Prabhu explained it, it's karma, right? Palestine is Israel, so because of karma. So then what is the solution, what is the process which can raise us above the karma, or you know, can annihilate the karma? We know that devotion service can do it. So that's how we can transcend the situations, right? So because of our karma or something, we are put in the situation, like you have certain disease or you know, have certain problem or whatever, right? To some extent I can deal, I have to practically deal with it. If I have cancer, I have to take medicines. But simultaneously I know, okay, I'm a spirit soul, I'm trying to practice, I'm trying to understand I'm a spirit soul. So I have to also invest in my relationship with Krishna. Right? I'm going to die with cancer. But if I just keep taking medicines, eventually I'm going to die anyway. But simultaneously, if I cultivate my relationship with Krishna, maybe hopefully this life I'm going to fix the whole problem altogether. Right? So that's why feeding the body, bird, right? Feeding the bird cage. In the cage, or you know, not feeding the cage. Just polishing, there's a golden cage, put a bird inside, keep polishing the cage every day. But don't give any food to the bird will die. So we are souls. So souls, what is the nutrition for the soul?
The love of Krishna.
Devotion. Yeah, so devotion. The whatever satisfies the soul, right? Whatever satisfies the soul. So we may get some satisfaction in solving these tiny battles. But that doesn't really, really, you know, satisfy the soul.
So anyway, so text 37, as we discussed, right? So non-violence, that's not the goal of Bhagavad Gita. It's above that, it raises Bhagavad Gita, is above the... So whenever there is a need for violence, yes, it should be applied. You know, we cannot be a coward or anything, say, you know, I'm not going to fight or anything. And here, so Krishna is encouraging Arjuna to fight because he's a Kshatriya, and the duty of a Kshatriya is to fight. And the example Prabhupada mentioned is about Vishwamitra. Vishwamitra Muni was a great rishi. He could have just opened his eyes, or you know, just by his mantras, he could have killed everybody. You remember in Ramayana, right? So there were, he was trying to perform, you know, the yajnas and all. But lot of rakshasas and all, they used to come and disturb the yajnas, you know, they used to perform. Then Vishwamitra, he didn't take action. He could have killed everybody just by, you know, mantra, reciting mantra. But he didn't do, because he was a Brahmana. But he went to the Dasharatha Maharaj, King Dasharatha Maharaj. Then he asked him to send Lord Ram with him, you know, so because they were Kshatriya. So that's the duty of a Kshatriya to take care. That's why here, you know, as Arjuna is a Kshatriya, he's encouraging to fight. Same as how Vishwamitra, he encouraged Lord Ram, right, to come with him and kill all the Rakshasas. Vishwamitra, he didn't kill himself. So that's we have to understand. So as a Kshatriya, yes, Arjuna is encouraging Arjuna to fight as a duty. So it's absolute duty.
Yeah, another point here is, if you notice, Krishna is saying either you will be killed or you will conquer and win the kingdom, right? Mm-hmm. But Krishna is not promising what result is going to get.
Mm-hmm.
Now just because I am saying you to fight,
mm-hmm.
you know, don't be, you know, okay, anyway I am going to win, okay, let me, you know, Krishna is saying I am going to win. So, you know, then you will have more, you know,
yeah.
easy, it's easy to fight.
Yeah,
but see how, see if you apply this practically, that's what we are going to face.
Okay.
Certain duties or certain activities. Sometimes, because of health issues or whatever, you know, sometimes we don't know where is the end. But all we have to do is just keep with that attitude of, this is my duty and let me do it. Result is in Krishna's hand. That's very, very tough.
But we did read the purport, right? Yeah.
Very tough, but these things we have to go through.
Mm.
Absolutely.
I have a question. So in this, you say, enjoy the earthly kingdom. Is that like...
Basically, the kingdom they have, right?
When if he wins the kingdom, he will get the whole
kingdom.
That means indicating that he will be still in the material platform.
Yeah, because he is,
yeah.
If he wins, he will be in the earth, right? Earthly planet, he will be enjoying.
Okay. In general, there is another verse, right? Just do your duty, don't think about, then why? Krishna is saying that do your duty, either way you are going to get that or this. That means that Krishna is giving that there is a material benefit. Maybe Arjuna doesn't understand earlier that saying that this is your duty, do it. He didn't understand, but still he is going to his level maybe.
Yes.
Tell them that
yes.
either way materially
yes.
also you are going to not going
yes.
to get it.
Yes, because Arjuna initially told, right, I am seeing loss either way. I am seeing if I if I win, I'm going to kill all my relatives, so I cannot share with anybody. And if I lose, I'm going to die. So, you know, what's the point? So, both sides, Arjuna was saying there is loss. But here, the same thing Krishna is saying, both sides there is materially gain.
Okay.
Got it? Like, that's why at his level is answering him.
Yeah.
But even then, I'm saying practically, you know, we also have to face this. Just because, you know, Krishna said, okay, let's chant, everything will be nice, right? Something or the other happens in the life. So there, that's where the test is. How do we keep the faith? How do we keep our practices? How do we... Yeah, so this then only
like,
all this knowledge
like
will become realization.
No, it's
in
like
the
printer.
Life of Pi movie, the same thing happened very soon.
Right,
he was a vegetarian, and then when he lands up in the boat, and then all that stuff, and the situations change. Have you watched the movie Life of Pi?
No.
No,
no, it's like
the story.
Right? It's like a filter, right?
Krishna
is filtering process.
It answers another thing. After all this, Arjuna went to heavenly planets, not to the final destination.
No.
He didn't go to final destination.
No, this verse is just telling.
Okay.
He
but
can achieve.
Not everyone went, right? I think it was only the few Pandavas only went. I mean, not Arjuna went.
Yeah,
Right?
Arjuna,
but Duryodhana, he got killed in the battlefield.
Yeah.
So everybody got liberated.
Got
whoever killed in the battlefield in front of Krishna, whoever was present, everybody got liberated.
Yeah.
But you know, some people went to spiritual, some people, you know, maybe just on that Brahman stage. It's not like completely spiritual, pure spiritual, this is Vaikuntha
like
planets.
Vaikuntha liberation is also in levels or what?
Yeah,
like Brahman stage and all, right? We discussed three.
That is a liberation?
Yeah,
that's kind of.
I thought that we don't call it a liberation.
No, Brahman.
It's impersonal liberation.
Impersonal liberation. The Brahman.
You enjoy more there, like the demigods and all, right?
They didn't got liberated. That was my definition.
They got
so
liberated.
Everybody got liberated.
But
everyone
got liberated
from this
in that case.
Liberated, you mean?
Oh, sorry.
In that life, in that spiritual, not spiritual, in the heavenly planet, still they have to work hard.
Heavenly planets is not liberation.
Not heavenly planet. They didn't go to heavenly planet. Everybody in the battlefield, whoever got killed, they went to spiritual planet. Means there is again, there is a light that
Brahma Jyoti.
So a lot of people went there who are really not.
But
in
what is the next
Krishna
step for them? That is my question.
Okay.
Whoever got
so
burned there,
so
if there are levels,
yes,
then again they have to reach the top level.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the first or like lowest stage of liberation is impersonal liberation, which is like, you know, being a spark in Brahman effulgence. Brahman effulgence is Krishna's bodily effulgence, right? So if you remember the chart, there are spiritual planets,
yeah,
right? First of all, top is the Goloka planet, the lotus flower, right? Krishna, Radharani. Then Ayodhya planet is there, Dwaraka, then Dwaraka, and then Mathura, all these things will come there. And then Ayodhya planet, where Lord Ram is there. And all the Vaikuntha planets, Narasimha Dev, Matsya, these are all Vaikuntha planets, these are all spiritual planets. Like once somebody goes there is no birth and death. And these planets don't get destroyed when annihilation takes place. Then beyond that, this effulgence goes through, right? That in that effulgence, somebody can be a spark. It's just a tiny entity without activity, without devotional service, anything. Then beyond that is Viraja river, everything. And then the material creation takes place. In the material creation, there is each of the universe has 14 planetary systems. So topmost is the Satyaloka, like that. Above the earth, there are six or seven, and then total there are 14. Earth is a middle planet which we are in. So heavenly planets, if you go, means that is within this universe you go. So when the universe gets destroyed, again you have to take birth again. So you'll remain in this. So that's not liberation, right? Yeah, that's why you say we go to heavenly planets, you have pious credits, you enjoy as much as you have pious credits. After it gets exhausted, you come back again to material world or rather earthly planet.
That I understand. When, what will happen to those? Those are like tiny spots.
They come
back. That is, they stay there as much as they can stay. But after that, because the soul is always active,
it cannot
remain in that inactive state. So they will come down and become very, very pious people.
Mm-hmm.
And they do philanthropic activities. So become very, very rich, like Bill Gates, all those people.
They take birth
like that and do philanthropic activities.
I remember once you mentioned that there are in different universes, different planets, this like different incarnations happening all the time, and different planets, right? Those are heavenly planets, those are treated as heavenly planets. Because if you get a birth in heavenly planet and there is incarnation is happening, you are seeing
God. You can
God.
Get attracted, yes. Yeah. No, that's why. So, heavenly planets are, you know, above earthly planets, right? The earth is there. So, above that, it's all heavenly planets. So, based on your good pious activity, you take birth in, for example, Indraloka. So, in Indraloka, yes, because Lord can visit Indraloka, because they do more elaborate, you know, performances.
Let's not even go for Indraloka. We know that those are heavenly. Even in the normal planet, if we take a birth, if God incarnates there, that itself is going to be heavenly planet, right? Not that way.
No, it's not heavenly planet. No.
When Krishna was here,
for example,
when Krishna
was
here,
Dundar, yeah,
in
Dundar,
the earth,
yes, he came.
Is it? It's heaven. Is it
no.
treated as heavenly?
No.
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 It's not heaven.
It's not heaven.
He came because of his compassion to save
people.
And that's how, for example, Vrindavan, right? He came, so that's how we know there is a Vrindavan.
Mm.
That's how we know there is a lot of pastimes. So he left all the messages, all, you know, devotees, all the... Like, you know, the for us, pointers. See, if somebody says, who are not even, you know, because the Vrindavan is located here, we know everything about Vrindavan. If you know, if you go visit Vrindavan, you get more mercy, right? It's easy for us to, you know, get connected. Otherwise, if you tell, you know, some other planet, there is a Vrindavan, you know, like that, you will not be able to come.
Yeah.
So, it's all
yeah,
about
it's
mercy. So, Lord can come as an incarnation or he can send his representatives to help the souls like us who have forgotten the relationship.
So, actually, this is a very good junction. So, from next verse onwards, Krishna is going to talk about a different platform. Basically, you know, performing your duty with detachment to results. It's called Nishkama Karma Yoga also, or it's also called Buddhi Yoga.
What yoga?
Nishkama Karma Yoga.
Buddhi
Yoga.
Buddhi Yoga.
Yeah, Buddhi Yoga. Yeah.
B-U-D-D-I. Buddhi.
Intelligence.
So, that's the next section, you know, now it's a higher platform. Doing a duty, being detached to results. Like that, we can practically also apply in our work and all those things, right? How we can do, it said that you have to do any activity as if results depend on you. But once you do it, you should give up the results as if results depends on God.
This is 47, Karma Nivadikara
Seva.
Yeah. That's what you are saying.
Yeah. See, everybody got these 2 points? You have to do with so much attachment and attention that as if results depends on you. But once you do it, you have to leave it as the presence depends on God. So that's what we need to do both.
Anyway, don't think we are all just, you know, like babies. We are all trying, so. Okay, I think it's a good time to start 8:30. So we'll just stop.